Well, this morning we're going to go back into our teaching again. We've been doing a series on being led by the Spirit of God, which is, you know, very important. We need to understand it. Really, our contact in the earth with God is through the Holy Spirit. That's how it's made. The Holy Spirit, God put the Holy Spirit in us, or in the believer, is inside of you. Most people who claim Christianity have no knowledge of the Holy Spirit in them, other than something written on a page in the book. And if somebody lived inside of you, you should know it. You should know it. I mean, it shouldn't be something we're trying to figure out or something we're trying to get. We should know it. But you can live. People can live. And many people, many Christians live and die with almost no contact with the Holy Spirit in them. They live generally like everybody else lives. Just, you know, whether it's an unbeliever or not. I remembered, I was, you know, thinking about the fact about, oh, it must be 10 years ago, I read this thing, and it was, I guess it was some kind of survey, it was done, things about the Bible, and it said that 80% of Americans believe that the Bible is the Word of God. And I really laughed when I saw it, because I thought it was sort of hilarious, 80% of Americans, because it doesn't matter. I've talked about this many times, and I've said I'm going to say it again. It doesn't matter what you believe. What you believe doesn't produce anything for you unless you act on what you believe. If you don't act on what you believe, it does nothing for you. Loads of people have loads of beliefs, but never act on them or never do them, and so they never produce anything. It doesn't matter how much you believe the Bibles are true. It doesn't matter you come to church, you listen and say, yeah, what they preach was true. It's what you do with what you believe is what produces things, not what you believe. And most of Christianity is taught believing itself is so profound. James said this. He was the brother of Jesus, James. He wrote a letter to the church, and we got it in a book. And in that book, he said, faith without works, in other words, believing something without action, what's good as it does? It's dead. Believing without acting is dead. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't produce anything. And so we need to understand the importance of acting on the Word of God. And this is one of the big things is we need to understand in being led by the Spirit of God. If you're going to be led by the Spirit of God, you got to be a doer of the Word. Because He has nothing to lead you to, because the Holy Spirit, He magnifies Jesus. And again, in the book, tells us that Jesus is the Word of God. So in other words, to follow the Word of God is to follow Jesus. So the Holy Spirit, Jesus said He's going to take up mine, He's going to show it to you. Which means, concerning the Word, He's always going to lead you in line with it. And He will always lead you in this, to do what the Word says. He'll always lead you in line with that, always. So, is coming in contact with the Holy Spirit, we need to understand there's certain laws and rules of the Spirit that have been established by the Bible. It doesn't matter how I believe about it. Doesn't matter. If my belief is not in line with what the Bible says, then I'm not going to be operating in line with the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has established rules. We have the idea today that people say, you know, we don't live under the law. But that doesn't mean we don't live under laws and rules. We do live under laws and rules. In fact, we read in the New Testament that Paul wrote to Timothy, and he wrote to even some of the churches, and he talked to them about what they are commanded to do. They are commanded to do. There's things you are commanded as a New Testament Christian to do. You are commanded. Now, see, we don't, generally Christianity don't have that anymore. You know, you're under grace, and grace means I sort of do whatever I want. God likes me anyhow. Well, we need to understand this. Hell is filled with people that God loved. Somebody loving you doesn't mean they're going to do something for you just because they love you. Do you know, I punished our children, loved them, still do, but we punished them. The Bible says this, if God doesn't chasten you, He don't love you. See, we have love today has no chance. Love puts, you know, God loves me unconditionally. There's no place in the scripture that says that. That's a made up by man. God loves me. God loves me the way I am. Well, why would God want you to be born again if he loves you the way you are? Why would God ask you to change? Why would the Apostle Paul write all this stuff that he wrote to churches about their conduct of life if you could just live any old way and do anything and it was all just all right because somebody said they loved you? You see, we have a false Christianity that's taught today. It's a false Christianity. It's not. Paul wrote to the church in Galatia and he said, you preach another Christ. It's not the Jesus that he preaches. See, we have another Jesus in the church world, and we need to understand that. Because people who are hooked to God are hooked to what God's Word said. You can't get hooked to God any other way. You can't come to salvation any other way. You see, we have today, well, there's all kind of different ways to salvation. I'm sorry, the Bible don't teach that. Jesus, this maniac, said he was the only way to the Father. Well, see, that puts Christianity in the place where why a lot of people don't like Christianity today and they don't want Christianity. They want the open, they want the wide road that anybody can arrive at God. You pick your way. You choose your way. You know, years ago I was at a what's called a Lenten breakfast, and they had a rabbi speaking at our Lenten breakfast. I thought that was pretty unique to begin with, having a rabbi at a Lenten breakfast. And the rabbi got up, and now this is all Christians he's talking to, and he said, you have your way to God, we have our way to God, and this group has their way to God, and we all have our way to God. And the Christians applauded him. And the church I went to at that time, we were sitting at the table, and my pastor was sitting across from me, and he applauded. And I looked at him, and I said, he just called Jesus Christ a liar, and you applauded him. You see, we've really got our problems in the church world today. We act like today this thing's all messed up. No, the mess up has started years ago. People started accepting lies. Things that weren't. Why? To appease people. My job isn't try to appease them. I'm called to preach the gospel. I'm called to tell. The Bible says speak the truth in love. He didn't say speak love. He said tell the truth and your motive's love. I don't tell the truth to hurt people. I want people saved. I want people following Christ. I love people. I don't want people to end up in hell. And people will end up there. You don't hear that today. People end up in hell. Everybody's going to be okay. You know, I haven't been at a funeral in probably the past 20 years, other than I know one's after me, but I've gone, and everybody's always going to heaven. And I know I've been at funerals, and I'm going to tell you what, if some people, I was at one funeral, and I'm going to tell you what, the guy, he was as wicked as the day was long, and if he, the minister kept saying he was in heaven. And if he is in heaven, Adolf Hitler is going to be seated with Jesus, and we're going to have to, you know, dear God, come on. But people will say, everybody gets to heaven. Everybody gets there. It's just a place we all arrive. Well, we don't. You know, for 30 years, I was on my way to hell, man. And I sure lived it too. I tried to. I tried to live as much hell as I could. But you know, I came to the place of the knowledge of the truth. And people are going to have to come to that, to the knowledge of the truth. And there's one thing is when a person becomes a Christian, they have a changed life. There's no such thing as becoming a Christian and staying the same. When I got saved, I became a different person. You know, there's a reason I've always told you. My wife, I accepted Christ before my wife did, but when she accepted Christ, I asked her why she did. So one of the things the Lord told me is to let her alone, don't preach to her when I first got saved. He said, she don't trust you. Well, she didn't. The way I lived, I didn't trust, couldn't trust me either. So surely she couldn't. And I asked her why she accepted Christ. She said, first I thought you were just going through this. No, one of your things again. You're just doing something different. That's all. And she said, I'm living with a different man. She's exactly right. It used to shock me. I used to think, like, what on earth? You know, things that, you know, would happen. And I would just think so differently about things and doing it. I said, man, this really is something to this life. It's a changed person. So you can try to turn over the new leaf and you can try to do all these things. But there's a grace of God to be had for people. And you know, sometimes Christians, they come into the kingdom and they lose this. They become, you know, we need to be very careful because what we do is we take the word and we just become a legalist of the word. And we use that simplicity of life of yielding to God and living out the simplicity of life. We come to the place we just think, well, now I know a lot about the Bible. I can quote 47 scriptures. I know this and that. See, and I'm pretty smart now. Well, right now you're in big trouble when you come to that place, because you come to the place where you eventually go along where you don't really need God anymore. Oh, you'll talk the religious stuff. You'll say all the stuff, but you'll live your own life by all you know. And you know, I often thought about it. You know, the Lord has been dealing with me some things over the last couple of years about how much I needed Him when I first started off. And how He responded to me. And I thought, yeah, I live by a lot of my wisdom now. There's a lot of things I know and they're great truth, but I don't rely on Him in areas like I used to. And so I had to back up and say, yeah, Lord, you know, that's true. That's true. You know, I don't, I found I didn't consult Him as often as I used to. You know, because see, I'm so bright. You know, I'm just as smart now, you know. I can read the Bible, you know, and I've just really got it. But what happens is I got over where I really wasn't being led by the Spirit of God. And we need to understand about this. You know, I said this last week, and I just want to say it to you this week. And really clarification, we need to understand. The anointing of God works in a minister to minister the Word. And it's one way that the Holy Spirit teaches you and trains you to be, so you can be led by the Spirit of God. It's just like today, the Spirit of God moving, I'm teaching the Word. And through the teaching of the word, it can help you to follow God. But you need to understand the basis, the bottom line. No minister is called to guide your life. That's always going to be your job. Your job and the Holy Ghost working together. It's always, nobody comes. See, we have people, you know, over the years have had people come and they want advice. They say they want advice, but really what they want me is to tell them what to do. They have to make the decision. They have to. The Bible tells us we walk by faith. You know, you can't walk by my faith. I don't care how much I may even know you need to do. You're going to have to get it in you and believe it and know you're supposed to do it and walk in, not just because I said so. You're going to have to know that. You're going to have to know the Holy Spirit for yourself. You're going to have to get direction. You know, I had to come to a place I knew I was called to preach. I didn't find my name one time in the Bible. My name isn't in there once. You know, I had to hear from God that I was called. I had to hear. I had to know that and to walk in faith. We know this is, you know, the average minister only stays in the ministry 4 years in the United States. The average minister only stays in the ministry 4 years. That's an average. So there's a lot of people who thought they were called, but they didn't make it. What happened? Doesn't mean that they weren't called. But you know what? They don't get settled within themselves of what they're supposed to do. You can't. This is going to be a faith walk. I don't know how many times I wanted to quit. I want to tell you what. Loads of times. And sometimes I quit up to 10 times a day for 15 minutes. And then I'd say, you know, I'd get out of the will of God if I left this. I can't do that. But so you have to know that you're called. You as a person need to know who and what you are. And the Holy Spirit is in you. It helps that. The Holy Spirit helps you know who you are and what you are. And you need to come in contact with it. We can sit here in this service and there's a combined faith that will set an atmosphere in this place. And you can pick things up and there's things that will speak to you. And when you walk out the door, everything changes. Because you're not sitting under that anointing anymore. Now it's you and God. People get turned on all the time in a service. Wow, yeah, that was really neat. Now it's out, and they walk out the door, and it's, and in no time, it's like they weren't even ever at a service. Because you got to learn yourself. You know, it's one thing as I learn about people say you want a revival. You have to have a revival yourself. You can't wait for somebody to bring you one. You got to learn to be your reviver. You got to learn to hook up with the Holy Ghost inside of you and have a revival. And you can stay revived all the time. You can stay in that place. And you know what? I'm going to give you a dirty word, a four-letter word that's really dirty, W-O-R-K. It takes work to do this thing. And that's a dirty word. Today, work? No. I want everything free. You know, salvation's free, so everything from salvation comes free. I don't have to do anything. Yeah, hide and watch. Salvation came free, but I'm going to tell you what it's going to cost your life to live it. It's going to cost your life. You know, we sang about giving God our all. They're nice words to sing, but do they mean anything at all? I'm sure none of you ever had to repent. I'm the only one that's ever had to do that. I'm the only one that's ever wanted to keep some of me. The rest of you just really wanted to give God everything. You just, woo, yeah, I'll just do it. Yeah, we say it in services. We do things and, you know, we really do mean it. But then there comes down when you really have to give it all. That's another story. That's another thing. Well, you find you have to do some growing, don't you? You know? I don't know. I had every intent of wanting God to have all of my life, but I'm still working at it after all these years. We're still working, making sure, you know, when I find things about myself, you know, that, there's still a piece of me here that I'm still holding on to. And you need to understand about God, you know, and the Holy Spirit, especially, you know, I learned from Kenneth E. Hagin. He said the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He don't force you to do nothing, and he won't. The Holy Spirit don't force you to do anything. You have to want to cooperate with him, and he's been a real gentleman, but sometimes he'll show me things, and I think, oh, my words, you know, things I need to change. And you're always going to find that because you're always going to be growing spiritually. Now, you can measure yourself to find out if you are growing spiritually. Have you grown in faith? Can you trust God more today than you did last year? If you can't, you haven't grown spiritually. You haven't grown at all. You need to understand, spiritual growth leads to greater trust. It always leads to greater trust. See, you have to learn to measure yourself. See, people don't do that. We just go through the religious motions of things, and well, I know this or that, you know, and I'm saved, I'm a child of God, blah, blah, blah. And I could, but we don't come to the place where we trust God more. See, at the end of this year, I have myself where every year, I'm going to expand myself. I'm going to go further. I'm going to go further. I'm going to yield myself further to God. What it requires, sometimes in doing it, I don't even know where I have to make the changes or what I have to do. There's one thing about, the Bible tells us God knows all about us. He knows everything about us. But you know, you don't know everything about you. Do you ever know this? And there's some things about you you don't want to admit. Did you ever notice that? In fact, if somebody else admits it, you get upset. Did you ever notice that? And if you really love me, you'll never bring it up. And you have that same idea with the Holy Spirit. Number one, if the Holy Spirit can't bring it up and you keep turning him off when he does, eventually he'll never say a thing again and he'll let you where you are. Why? Because he's a gentleman. He won't push it. If you don't want it, he won't push it. He won't push it. God won't make you do anything. There'll be a day God will come along and make man do what he wants. But right now, it's all about our choice. Hallelujah. Well, I decided I need to change and make some different choices. Hallelujah. I need to do that. I don't find it a bad thing. Been doing it all my life. When my parents sent me to school, that started all that. I didn't go to school and say, we love you the way you are. You can be a nut and we don't care. Now, today you can go to school and do that. But we couldn't back yonder a long time ago. We had a change. You couldn't be yourself in school. Do you know we couldn't be ourselves when I went to school? You weren't allowed to do that. That's when we used to get educated. That's when you could read. You didn't have to wait till, you know, sometime around in college to try to learn how to read. You know, people get out of high school today. I know from in the business world working. I know from the business world. People come in high school diplomas and can't read. We got all kinds of stuff, things on uneducated people. Why? Because we got uneducated people teaching the uneducated. And it just goes on and on and on. And so, God doesn't operate in a system like that. God does not give promotion. You pass the test or you don't get promotion. The kingdom of God is not a pass by. Just because you're in the kingdom, you just get passed by and you just, it's the way, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work like that. And so we won't look at that. We're talking about being led by the Spirit of God. You got to know the rules. Romans 8, with scriptures we're using, Romans 8, 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. In other words, if you're not led by the Spirit of God, if you are not led by the Spirit of God, you will never live sonship. You need to understand it. You can be a child of God. You can be born of God. But if you're not led by the Spirit, you will never live in sonship. You will never live like a son. You'll always just be like a slave. You'll always just be, and mostly, the devil will dominate your life. See, being led by the Spirit. What happens? The Spirit. Now we find this scripture in Romans, in verse 16. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit Himself, what, bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. So knowing that we are children of God is by the Holy Spirit bearing witness in you. You need to know, you need to have the Holy Spirit bearing witness in you. You're not a Christian because you go to church, because sometime you went forward and made a statement of things. You're going to live a life, you have to know that you are. If you're going to live a Christian life, you have to know who you are. Not because somebody said who you are and just because you prayed a prayer. That isn't what lets you live a success. You're going to live a success by what you know and do. You're going to have to know the Holy Spirit bears witness with you. You're a child of God. I know that I know that I'm a child of God. I know that I know. And you know what? It leads to living like a child of God. That's what it leads to. You're going to live by what you are. You know, the Bible says, you know, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. And he had to say this. Don't you guys know that you're the temple of God and the Holy Spirit lives in you? Well, we know they didn't know it because he told them. He said, I can't talk to you as spiritual. I got to talk to you as carnal. In other words, I'm talking to you like you aren't saved. I got to talk to you like people who are not saved. So we were saying to them, here they are Christians. God lives in them. But what happens? They're not living like sons of God. They're not living in that manner. The way they're living is like they're not. Yet they are children of God. So it does require something, does it? See, they didn't know who they were. You need to know who you are. This is why we go to the Scriptures, because the Scriptures tell us in the New Testament. Paul's letters tell us who we are in Christ Jesus. We have to know what we are. You're going to live to the measure you believe you are. See, when people, you know, teach saying, well, God accepts me the way I am. I never met a person that's ever changed at all in their life saying, who believes that? They never change. They just live the same way. They never change. Why? They believe they're all right the same way. So what do? They live like I've been living. I don't make no changes. See, whatever you believe, that's what you're going to live. You're going to live to the measure of what you believe. That's why you got to change what you believe and then start acting in line with that if you want it to manifest into something of real change. See, that's why I like to say when people do like New Year's resolutions, they don't work. Generally, most people, it'll never work. It's because it's not in their belief system. They have what they want. You know, the Bible don't tell you get what you, from the standpoint, what you'd like to have or what you'd like to do. You don't get it because of that. If it did, we'd all get everything we ever wanted. Well, it don't work. The idea, see, you got to get into it. I learned this years ago. Even some of it I learned before I even got saved. I realized you had to get things in you before you set yourself a course to do something. See, people never do. Christians don't. They don't get into the Word and set their course by what the Word said and gets a believing into them. Now, when I step out to do this, I know that I believe it. I know it's true. I'm going to start acting on this. They don't get that. They go along and say, well, I'm going to try. You know, I'm going to try to lose weight. Well, forget it. Just eat and go ahead. Don't bother. Don't even bother. Because trying ain't going to get it. There's pressure going to come on you. You're going to see lunch every place you turn and look. Let's get real about this stuff. You know? That's why it is that people say diets don't work. No, it's people don't work. It ain't diets don't work. People don't work. You know what? If you want a diet to work, you got to work a diet. So it works if you do it. But I'm going to tell you what the easiest way is. I learned every time I want to make a change, I don't try to make a change right away. The first thing as I do is I get it into me of what I got to do to make that change till I get to the place I am ready to do it. If you don't do that, you won't succeed. The average person in change will last for 90 days. The average one will last for 90. And after 90 days, they'll go right back to what they were. You know, you see these people that sell diets figured that out, and they give you the 90-day diet to lose so much weight because they know you ain't going to stay on it after that. This is good preaching, folks. Why? Because, see, the person never gets it in their heart to lose weight. They got the idea by looking in the mirror and saw, my words, my mirror's gotten small. My mirror has changed sizes. What happened? Or maybe my room shrank and I need to get back further. I don't know. So I can see all of me. Well, what happens? See, people don't get it in them. You got to know who you are. Just like if the Holy Spirit lives in you, you got to come in contact with Him. If you got to do it, you got to change the way you think of what's going on. You got to begin to change you. See, many people all of a sudden they'll have a need. There's something they want. They're running. I want this. I need this. And even with God, deal with God exactly the same way. They just run and take off, you know. Now I'm going to pray, you know. I pray for weeks, sought for God, never stood for a thing. But now I really need this bed. I'm going to pray and I want God to fix this thing. And then they wonder why it don't work. It's not going to work. The kingdom of God is not some rush system. There's this crazy scripture in the Bible that says it's really stupid. It says, with faith and patience, you inherit the promise. Oh, patience? Well, hold that one. Come on. I just want to get this thing. I don't want this patience stuff. Wow. I'm really patient. I'll last up to 15 minutes. I'll tell you what, are we ever patient? You know, it requires getting something in you and you begin to change. It's getting something into you, getting something on the inside. I had went for, and I've told about this, the story, and I wasn't a Christian at the time. I wasn't born again. When I had quit smoking many years ago, and before I got saved, I quit smoking. But I used to smoke, and I smoked all the time. And I worked at H.B. Reese Candy Company. And one day, I come into the lunchroom, and cigarettes had gone up to 60 cents a pack. Now, you know, today, they paid 60 cents a pack. I mean, there's loads of people probably start smoking today. They could get them for 60 cents. They'd start doing it. But anyhow, it was 60 cents a pack, and I forget what they were. They went from like 45 to 60 or something like that, a pack. And I'll just never forget. And I didn't realize at the time it was something on the inside happened to me. It made me mad. And I just said this. Now I had tried numbers of times to quit smoking. See, I'd always tried to quit smoking. There's something that I never did nor ever said before. I never followed a principle of the realm of the spirit. See, most people, I'm going to try to quit smoking. Just go ahead and smoke. Just go ahead and smoke. You ain't going nowhere with it. Because you haven't set yourself to do it. You haven't set yourself. That day, I made this statement. I said, I'll never smoke a cigarette again. I said, I will not pay 60 cents a pack for cigarettes. And you know what? I quit smoking, never had withdrawal, never had nothing. Now, all those times before I did. And the whole thing was different was I found out after I got born again the principle that worked. Because what I did from the inside. See, faith is of the heart. It's not of the head. In my heart, that made me mad. And in my heart, I made a statement from my heart. And from my heart, I said, I will not smoke again. And see, the power from the inside brought things to a halt. It was what was going on in the inside. Before, when I did all that bit of trying to quit smoking, it never worked. I always would, oh man, I need a cigarette. You know, and you'd fight it, and next thing you know, you'd quit for a little while, and you'd be back to smoking again, and then you'd smoke more than you did before. You know, it's like those diets and eating, you know, you get off of them, and then you just eat everything, the plate, the whole, everything. You're hungry. So you're back eating more than you ate before you started the diet. Look, I'm talking about a principle. If you'll listen, the Holy Spirit will lead you into truth or what's true. He won't lead you into a gimmick. He won't lead you into... The Holy Spirit don't ever lead you into trying. He will never lead you there. Why? Because He can't operate. He doesn't have that. He doesn't have that. That isn't in the kingdom of God to try things. That's not in the kingdom. The kingdom is to do things. And it operates in that. And you have to understand. The Holy Spirit will show you how to overcome in what area. He'll show you to do it. The first thing he wants to do, you know, when I went to school in first grade, they didn't come out and give me an algebra test. I was never had an algebra test till I was taught algebra. You see, many people put themselves in a test of life without educating themselves. The person who goes to the doctor, tries the diet, what they're saying is, I have no education in this thing. I've not set myself to learn a thing about it. I just want to lose weight. I'm going to do this. So they put a test on themselves to see if they can quit eating. And it generally don't work. See, they don't prepare themselves. They don't do it. See, when I went to school, they would teach you things and then give you a test. And then see, what people do, people put themselves in a test. And here's how religion gets started. Here's how so many Christian religions pop up. And they're Christian. They call themselves Christian and this and that. But they have all these different wild beliefs and crazy beliefs. You know, God's in control of everything. Well, if God's in control of everything, he sure made a mess. If he's in control of it all, dear Lord. Man, we need somebody else in control. I can do as well as the world's running. Dear God. God's not in control. Now one day he will be. And you know what it says is going to happen? He's going to rule with a rod of iron. Ooh, that ain't going to be pretty. You know what he has to do to rule? Slap everybody down. Tell them, shut up, sit down, keep your mouth shut and listen. That's what he's going to have to do. He's going to have to rule with a rod of iron. We'll say, we don't have to live like that today. We can turn. We have the Holy Spirit in us. You and I can learn to listen to God. He'll educate you. Just like he did in school. They took me, trained me, educated me, and then they'd give me a test. I was never tested. See, and the Holy Ghost will never do the same. People go, start their own test, run it, and it don't work, and then they stop and say, well, see, God has a reason, you know, for not wanting me to do this. So they start themselves a religion. And say, see, this happened, so since, you know, God don't want me to lose the weight, he has me fat for a reason, or he has me dumb for a reason, or he has me, and they make up reasons, and they start this religious, I'm this way because God wants me this way. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches you're more than a conqueror. The Bible says you have the mind of Christ. You think Jesus is a dummy? Well, most Christians do. As most Christians, well, you know, God won't, you know, he don't want us smart, he don't want us this, sometimes he does, some, you know, he blesses this person, he don't bless that person, they say all these different things. And it is all based on what people tried to do themselves that didn't work, and then they come up and they become God. Now, I'll tell you how God works. And how do I know how God works? I have not been led by the Spirit at all. I've been led by all my mistakes, and my mistakes tell me this. My mistakes and all the tests that I made that I failed tell me this. You know, that God must not want me to have that or I would have it. Because see, you know, he is in control. You know, God didn't raise up. You know, we're not a bunch of, you know, animals running around. God expects us to have wisdom. Why would he put the Holy Spirit in us? Why would he give? The Holy Spirit is the mind of Christ. That's who he is. Jesus said, everything that the Father knows is mine, and I'm giving you the Holy Ghost, and everything that I have now, he'll tell you. So everything that God has. So God, how could God want me to be a dummy? Why would he give me the Holy Spirit? That's the last thing you'd want to do is give me the Holy Spirit if I wasn't supposed to be very bright. I mean, what on earth would he give me the Holy Spirit who knows everything? And say, you know what? We just put him in there. He has a little cot. He sleeps in the corner. And he's just waiting till you drop dead so he can get out of here. You see, the Holy Spirit's inside of us. Can you imagine? Everything God knows is living inside of you. Have you met that guy lately? Have you met him? He's God. God's living in you. He's inside of you. It's phenomenal. But see, that's hard for people to take because all people live by their emotions, their own thoughts and ideas and all these things, and they lead themselves by it. Instead of leading themselves by what the Word of God says, to find the mind of God, to be led into the truth. To me, this is the most wonderful life because inside of me lives one who knows everything. There's one inside of me that'll help me in every situation. There's one inside who has an interest in my life, and he's God. You know, it's nice to have a real smart friend and somebody. Wouldn't it be nice to have a real smart friend, real bright, you know, knows all kind of stuff, has lots of money, willing to give it to you, all that. That'd really be cool, wouldn't it? We all think that'd really be nice. That'd really be nice to do. I have God living in me. What would I want to cheapen life for and have some friend that is limited in what he got? You see, we've got to change the way we think. We've got to change. What about this one in you? Does he really have an interest in you? Or maybe he's just mad at you. God, you know, your failures, your mistakes. Maybe he's just upset all the time. Maybe he thinks, you know, you're pretty cheap. You're pretty lousy. And, you know, I'm tired of you doing this stuff. I mean, what do you think his view of you is? You see, your response to God's going to be based on that. What does the Scripture say that God thinks about you, but what do you think about you? See, you want to get your thoughts in line with what the Scripture says and not what you think about you. See, most of us, what we do, we look at our weaknesses and we look at our failures. I want to read you Scripture here and because I had a direction I was going to go to last night, and then the Lord, He always changes things. I have some great ideas. I do. I really have good ideas. And then God begins to show me stuff, and we find out that He has different ideas than I do. But in Scriptures in Hebrews, let me read these Scriptures to you. Because God wants you to have a revelation this morning. See, you need to be able to see you. You need to have your relationship with this Jesus Christ. And that's the whole point of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants you to see Jesus the way He is. And I just want to tell you, He's a lot better than you thought. He's a lot better. He is interested in. You know, many times, I mean, I want, there's things about my life I want to change. I ain't got a clue how to do it. I'm not wise enough. I gave that up a long time ago. I did enough things to try to fix problems and then finally had to see God and get the answer. You know? And so the Word of God shows us things. And here's a Scripture. Last night I was getting ready. I was going to go to bed. And I thought I would go earlier than I did. I didn't get there anyhow. But anyhow, Lord always cracks me up. He always waits till I think I got everything. I know what it's going to do tomorrow. And then He changes it. Whatever I think I do. But you know, now why don't you understand? Why does He do that? I will tell you why He does it. And I understand it. And I like His methods because they work. He wants me to live by faith. Without faith, you can't please Him, the Bible says. So what does He do? He can't show me everything. I won't live by faith. What He expects me is to live by what He shows me. That's what He wants. Oh, now, I'm not like you guys. I used to fight that. I know you guys just yield to it right away. You guys are wonderful. Wow. Me, nah. I want more up front. But I've learned over the years that's not the way it works. The more and more is interested, if He says something, He wants me to follow that. And I find this out today. I don't get more unless I walk in what He already showed me. And then He gives me more. But He never shows me. And see, most people, we're waiting. We want the whole story, you know. What was a guy that used to be on the news guy? He said, now for the rest of the story. Paul Harvey, you know, is now the rest of the story. He would always come in. Well, see, I always wanted the rest of the story, you know. I wanted that faith life. if you can't say amen, say oh me. So, it just, you know, we're in the state. But listen, Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Listen, verse 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest. You have a great high priest. You have a great one. Now, let's think about this. Your high priest is God. Jesus is God. That's a pretty great high priest. Hallelujah. We understand this. The high priest is the one who represents humanity before God. I want you to get the idea of what God did by sending his son. God represents you before God. What a fixed system. I love it. I love it. Because God has fixed the system. He did it. Redemption was carried out by God. Man wasn't even involved in it. It was 100% God. Redemption. God got in an earth suit, came down here, and God died for you. God was raised from the dead for you. So you could become a child of God. Ah. And then we wonder if he really likes us. Hallelujah. Praise God. He said, "What he has passed through the heavens." What this is referring to is, see, our high priest is not in the earth. See, you need to understand this. Where a high priest represented people from determined his authority. In the earth, the high priest's authority in the temple in Jerusalem was this. He went into the took blood in, and all it did was covered your sin for a year. It didn't get rid of it. It only covered it. So for a year, you were all right till the year was up, and then all that ugly was back. Then they did it again. Jesus as high priest is a high priest in the holies of heaven. The Bible tells us he took his blood and he made an eternal redemption. In other words, he went in, it says he went to the mercy seat, which is the throne of God, and he put his blood, and now he is seated at the right hand of the Father, which, understand this, no priest on earth could do such a thing. You know, the priests in the earth, they used to tie a rope around their leg when they went into the holies of holies, because if they made any mistake or they had not went through the cleansing process right, they died in the presence of God and they dragged their body out of the thing. Boy, that was a fun system. I want to be high priest next year. Let me. My turn. It's like, send Harry. Let him go. Let's see if it works. Just stack up guys till we get this thing working. I don't know. Maybe you'd like that one. To me, that's like, whew. But Jesus went in and made an eternal redemption. He is an ever-living high priest. There was never one in the earth. We have God representing us before God as priest. With an eternal redemption. This redemption has removed the sin nature from those who believe. See, we don't have, there's people say, oh, you know, our sin's covered. Our sins are not covered. If your sins are only covered, you're on your way to hell. You can't go to heaven with sins covered. Just why Jesus said you must be born again. The sin nature must be removed from man. That's what Jesus did. The sin nature was removed from man. Through faith, man becomes a new creation. The nature of sin is gone. Man is now righteous before God. The Bible says he has the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now man's righteous before God. Not because of our works. We didn't do anything to get that righteousness. We didn't do a thing. We became righteous because of his work that he did. So now you're a child of God. And you became that all because of his work, all because of that high priest. His work, and he is your representative. There is a God-man. Jesus is in a glorified physical body. You are represented by a body. A God in a human, glorified human body sits beside the Father. That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? And he's your representative. You think this is going to go well? Sounds good to me. I think things are going to go pretty good. And see, this is our high priest. Now he's talking, this is why he says here, you got a great high priest. He said, what? Jesus, the Son of God. What does he say? Let us hold fast our confession. Confession of what? If you go back and read these things, about who we are. Concerning our salvation, I'm a child of God. You know, Christians don't go around saying, people say, I'm a Christian. You should be saying, I'm a child of God. I believe Jesus is Lord. I believe God raised him from the dead. I'm a child of God. That's your confession. The word Christian came from the sinners. It didn't come from the saints. It came from Antioch. And Antioch, the people in Antioch called those believers, those ones, they called them Christians. In other words, they were followers of the teachings of Christ. That's what they were. That's what they called them. God didn't give them the name Christians. We took that one on. In fact, you look at the New Testament, they didn't call themselves Christians. We took that on. They were believers. They were of the faith. They would say things like that. That what they would call themselves, in other words, you know, we get Christians today, they'll say things, I have a hard time believing. How can you have a hard time believing? The Bible says you're a believer. The only reason you have a hard time believing is because of your confession. You say you have a hard time believing. The Bible don't say that. The Bible says you're a believer. It is normal for you to believe the Word. Why would you say anything else about yourself? Why would you say anything else? Why would you speak derogatory concerning what Jesus said about you? Why? We call him a liar. He said, you're a believer. I refuse. I never say I have a hard time believing. I don't care what my mind tells me or anything else. I'm going to say what Jesus said. Jesus calls me a believer. That's who I be. I'm the believer. You've got to hold fast to your confession. You must hold fast. You have a great high priest who has done a whole lot for you. Don't throw it out with your big blab mouth. This is the weakness of Christianity. Because in Christianity, the only thing they know is confessing sin, but they don't know anything about confessing faith. They don't confess what God's done for them. They always confess their weaknesses and failures and whatever else. Dear Lord, we could write books on that, and they have. And they sell them to you, and you buy them. Dear God, what's wrong with you? I don't need to be taught about my weaknesses and failures. I know what they are. I don't need some nincompoop making money off of me trying to sell me a book about my weakness. Look what it says here for in verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. He knows your weakness. And you know what? He's telling you to hold on to your confession, not your weakness. Quit confessing your weakness. He can sympathize. He knows. He lived here on the earth. He can sympathize with your weakness. That's why Jesus had to die for you, because of your weakness. You needed something better than you. Glory to God. I'm so glad Jesus wasn't like me. Oh, my God. He was better. But was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now, he was perfect, but he's still in sympathy with you. Do you know why he was perfect? Because he was born without the sin nature. We were born with it. He knows what it did to man. He knows the dilemma it put us in. And you know what? He likes us. He died for us. He was raised for your justification. This is your high priest. This is about our approach to God. Listen, verse 16. Let us therefore go hide under a rug somewhere. Let us therefore get into a closet and be afraid to approach him. Now he's talking about, now understand, this last verse talked about your weaknesses. So what does he say? Get all your weaknesses fixed. Now you can come to me. Is that what it's going to say? No, he says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. With all my weaknesses? With all of my weaknesses, I'm supposed to come boldly to the throne of grace? That's what I'm supposed to... See, understand, this is the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's teaching. He's telling you what to do. This is how the Holy Ghost leads you. You need to understand. This is what the Lord said to me. He said, there's people going to be in the audience. Been going through some tough times. You've been under oppression and some just, you know, depression. You've been having trouble with it. Now, I just want to tell you, we just take it and we get over in a thing, this is just us. It ain't just you. You know, there's demonic spirits that come against people, that hamper people, and they come against us. But what happens? We get focused in our thought life on this thing we're going through. We're trying to get our mind straightened out, but it just seems like thoughts and stuff come. But what's happened is this. You don't have a confession of faith. You keep dwelling on those thoughts. What's wrong with me? See, you focused on your weakness as if this is just all you. I must be a messed up weird. You know, I just can't get straight. I have been more, and this year has been a lot of victory and things, but I'm going to tell you, but I've been more under more satanic oppression this year than I have any year. And I know why. It's because God's moved me into another realm. And I tell you, the devil don't want me to step in and have something higher, and he don't want you to go to nothing higher. He wants to keep you where you're at. And you need to recognize that what you're dealing with, demonic pressure, it's not just you. Inside of you, you want to do right. You want to walk right. You want to think right. You want to do what's right. See, we do have a weakness, don't we? That's why Jesus died for us. I'm born again, but there's only one way to walk in strength is to begin to confess who I am and what I am. And listen to what he says here. What do you do when you're under this thing? Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. When you're having the weakness problem, that's when you're supposed to be the boldness. That's when you're supposed to be the boldest and have the boldness to walk right into the throne of God. What do we do? You can tell when you're under demonic oppression. You can tell it. Should I tell you how? You don't have confidence toward God. You won't want to walk toward God. Oh, I got to get straight now. I'm so messed up. He's probably upset. And that's going on. I need nothing but demonic oppression. God is always going to, the Holy Spirit is always going to lead you to God to get things fixed. And if anything's keeping you from God, it cannot be God. If it is, God's the biggest liar on the face of the earth. Most of Christianity, whether people like to hear it or not, think the devil's God. Because they talk about God like he's the devil. Oh, he's had me into this problem for a reason. Man was living good till he invited the devil into the earth. It was when the devil got into the earth the problem started, not God. And I've done read the end of the book. When God gets it back, it runs well again. It's getting ourselves over there. God is always going to lead you to come to Him. He's always going to lead you. I don't care how big you've messed up. I don't care what you've done. God is always going to lead you to repentance. The Holy Spirit will always lead the believer to repentance. So come on, here, let's get this fixed. Come on. I want to be in fellowship with you. Come on. Get back in. You see, when we sin, God doesn't back up. We do. When we sin, we back up. God don't. Last I read about him, he said he never leaves me nor forsakes me. The Holy Spirit don't go move into somebody else's place when I mess up. He is still here. He's still inside. I wonder why sometimes. Why did he ever stay? I don't know if I'd have stayed. Anyhow, but he's still there and he's inside of you. But he will always lead you. The Holy Spirit will always lead you to go boldly to the throne of grace. He'll always lead you to that. Always lead you to that. Always. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. He'll always lead you to get things fixed. He doesn't do what people do. He's not interested in people jumping through hoops. He wants to get you back in fellowship with God. Why? Because you can get fixed. That's why. God's in the fixing business. He's not like, you know, when we go places and they get a car and they put it on a computer and the computer can't tell you what's wrong. Well, good luck. We'll change 47 parts for you and we'll just see if whether it works out best for this. We get it done and we go through this whole thing. God, don't do it. God knows the fix. He knows what you need. This is the wonder of God. God knows. He knows what will fix you. And you understand as a human, don't measure yourself of you see a problem in you and you think somebody else has the same problem. They may not at all. Manifestations on the outside may not be at all about what's going on in the inside. You can have people have the same manifestation on the outside, but what's going on in their life is two different things. This is why is one thing as I learned. I don't have these books and people write, well, if you have this problem, you just do this, that. Throw them out. I don't need their book. What I need is the Holy Ghost to get me in line with this book so he can talk to me to tell me what's wrong with me. I want a permanent fix. Christianity today is a Band-Aid. That's all it is. It's a Band-Aid over problems that never go away and just fester and usually get worse. The Holy Spirit does not operate in that manner. God's a fixer. Look at Jesus' ministry. Was he a fixer? He's a fixer. And he said, when I leave, I'm going to send you another comforter. That word another means one of the same kind. I'm going to send you one that's just like me. Glory to God. You got one in you that's just like Jesus. What else would you want, guys? We got it made. We got one just like Jesus in us. People say, I wish Jesus was here. Say, I wish you'd read the Bible sometime. Dear God, he's done moved in. One just like Jesus is living inside of me. Does he want to fix things? Yes, he does. Does he want to hurt me? No, he doesn't want to. He wants to help me. He wants to educate me. See, I found out most of the pain that I've gone through in my Christian walk, I did it. I was good at it too. We go through things, sometimes we go through them, we're just ignorant. We're ignorant children. We don't know. There's sometimes I was just downright stupid. I admit it. You were too, so you might as well admit it. Sometimes we're just downright stupid. That's what we just do dumb. And we cause ourselves a problem. And we have that. Well, get over it. Everybody joins a club. Jesus knows our weakness. And there's been no new sins. We've done figured them all out. We know them all now. So, but anyhow, we come boldly to the throne of grace. I want you to see this. You come boldly to the throne of grace. He said that we may obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. We may obtain mercy. This is the whole thing. People stay away because of mistakes and problems. They don't come. Instead of relying on the mercy of the high priest, we don't. I want you to see the word here, the Greek word here that's used in this. They translated it obtained. If you look through its usage in the New Testament, this word has a meaning. Now, the word obtain means this in general. It means to gain or attain, usually by planned action or effort. It means to prevail or succeed. But it's through mostly through a planned action or effort. There's something you have to do. Now, there's a number of translations, numbers of them, they translate this word received, to receive. Now, there's difference. If you look at the word through that's usage in the New Testament, this word is used a ton of times in the New Testament. This word hundreds, but probably 1,000 times in the New Testament, this word's used. And it's translated either obtain, it's translated receive, it's translated took. But the whole idea of it is this word. This word is really from this. When we talk about receive, it doesn't mean that you go and then God just hands you something. The Bible tells us about what receiving is. Jesus said when you pray, you believe you receive it, then you'll have it. When do you get it? When you first believe you receive it. He didn't say you get it just because you went there. It's something you have to take and obtain. You need to learn to do this. Most people, when they've missed it with God, they will go through the things of asking God to forgive them, but they never take a hold of mercy there. They're waiting to feel better. They never obtain it. They never by effort go say, you know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to get this thing removed from me. I'm going to get cleansed from all unrighteousness. I'm getting this. No, they go there and they ask God to forgive them. You know, Jesus never asked you to, in 1 John 1:9 to ask him to forgive you. He asked you to admit what you did wrong. He said, confess your sin. The word confessor means to admit. Admit what you did. And know what he said with? If you admit what you did, I forgive it. I wonder if he does. I wonder if he actually does. But see, if you're waiting to feel better, you haven't obtained it. You didn't obtain anything there because your feelings will lie to you all the time. I'm not supposed to be led by my feelings. I'm supposed to be led by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God will lead me in line with the Word. See, when I go there, you know what I should be saying? Thank you, Lord. You forgave me. This is done. I'm righteous before you again. It's just as if I never sinned. So I'm going to hold fast to my confession. People don't do it. They go and they want to feel better. See, we have feel better Christianity, a lot of it. And that's why people never feel good. You'll feel a lot better when you start talking right. You'll feel a whole lot better. I never met a person who was under depression having happy thoughts and talking happy things. Never. You will never get a person out of depression if you can't change the way they talk. Their own voice keeps them depressed. It does. I know how to depress me. I've done it already. So have you, so get over it. Sitting there, that smug look like, I never did nothing like that. We do that. But we begin to change. See, your confession's a powerful thing. The Holy Ghost can bring your confessions to pass that you'll speak in line with the Word of God. If you'll say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and you don't doubt in your heart, but believe that those things you'll say will come to pass, you'll have what you say. Jesus said you're going to have what you say. You know, Jesus never said you're going to have what you believe. The church has pumped the believing side so much that people think they're all right just because they believe things. Get your mouth and ready. Get your mouth. The Holy Spirit wants to have your heart and your mouth together, and He'll bring miracles to pass in your life. He'll bring miracles to pass in your life. That's what He wants. This is why when you mess up, He wants you, run to Daddy. Go to the throne. And you know what? Obtain it. Take that mercy. What He offers you, you take it. Don't go out and talking any different like you didn't get it. Say, well, I'm still feeling bad. Well, you didn't get it. You'd obtain nothing. He's given it. But I've obtained nothing. I left it there. No, say, Lord, praise God, I'm taking it. Folks, I have need mercy on many occasions. Have you? And I've learned over time is take it. Take it. You're justified before God. That's the biggest thing. Everybody wants to be justified before themselves or somebody else or something else. I'll tell you, your mind and keeping yourself straight in life is justification before God. When you know that you're right in the presence of God, it don't matter what anybody else says about it. You know, when we look at an individual and does something wrong and we think, oh man, it's so terrible. See, today we don't believe in forgiveness. In our nation, we don't believe in forgiveness. We believe in carrying it out. You know, somebody does something wrong, and you know, and then we want to hold it against them. You know, in our nation, we hold things against. You know, they said, what's his name, that their football player, Michael, the one quarterback, Vic. You know, they were going to use him as an honorary guy, you know, for the football NFL things for the, anyhow. So people got all upset because, you know, he did bad and ended up in jail. So you know what? You can never forgive him now. He did wrong, so he should never for the rest of his life. 200-some thousand people in America signed a petition that he shouldn't be held in this honorary position. You know, you need to understand this. If Michael Vick, I want you to understand this. If Michael Vick asked God to forgive him, all those 200-some thousand people are all in sin. And you know what? Lying about Michael Vick and saying things, and you know what? All liars are going to be in a lake of fire. Who is justified? Michael Vick or them? You better watch how quick you throw something out there on somebody. They might already ask God forgiveness. Now you're lying. See, we don't believe in this forgiveness stuff. We don't believe it. You know? And so what happens? We have no confidence in God to do it either. Man, I tell you what, I'm a big believer in the forgiveness. That's the only thing I got going for me anymore. If this forgiveness thing don't work, I ain't got a chance. I miss it and I can't get it fixed. What's your chances? Think about it. What's your chances? I'm so glad this running to the throne of grace is a true thing. I am so glad because as long as I stand before God in this, I can do what Jesus said. I can ask the Father anything according to His, anything in His name, and He'll give it to me. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be done for you. My Father which is in heaven. Is that because God holds out? No, folks, this is because of us, you and I. What happens? We lose confidence and we back off. We lose confidence. We miss it and we back off. And God says, don't back off. The Holy Ghost says, come on, let's go see Dad get this fixed. Let's get this thing done. Let's go. If you have anything that's pulling you back, it ain't God. Don't you ever believe that. It isn't God. The Holy Spirit always moves it toward correction of getting it fixed. That's how the kingdom works. If anything works in any other way, it is not God. I don't care what any religious person tells you or anything. I'm talking Bible. I'm sticking with Bible. God is always calling us to the throne of grace to receive mercy. And then he says to find grace to help. In other words, and grace is this. People say, well, grace is unmerited favor. That is just a little corner of what grace is. Grace is God's ability. You got saved by grace. It was the power of God that caused you to be saved. Thank God there's favor in it. But it's based in power. God's grace is power. When you stepped into God's grace, it took you, a sinner, one of the devil's kids, and turned you in. Grace turned you into God's kid. I took power. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Hallelujah. Resurrection. Grace is the resurrection power of God, and it's living in you. Grace is living inside of you. It's the power of God. Grace to help. There's power of God to help you overcome in that weakness, whatever it is, and get over it. Get over top of that thing and get that weakness out of the way. But see, what the devil does, he holds us out over here from the mercy place. And we never go to the mercy place, so we never get to the power. That never happens. So the weakness stays. The weakness stays. The devil's cunning. The devil's not some big power. He manipulates you through thinking. He always wants you to think in weakness and failure and this. I always get you looking at where you missed it, the things that you've done wrong. Look what you did wrong. It's like we talked about the other Sunday. You don't have a life. From the day I got born again, that guy died. 30 years ago, a new person came into being. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. In God's eyes, I have never existed before January 1980. I'm a new existence. See, you don't have a past. I don't care what you did in your past. I don't care if you were, you know, killing people or what you're doing. If you came to Jesus Christ, God views you as a completely righteous person, holy before Him. And that person who did that, they don't exist anymore. We just work hard at keeping them alive, you know. Why? Confession. And the devil wants you to get over into confession things about, oh yeah, I did this or that. I told you the story of my dad. My dad always did really had good health and things, but he got over, a problem came along as he was older, and he got over the thing, and he said to me one day, he said, well, I have this. He said, I ruined my body. He said, I was a drunkard, and he was, and I was a drunkard too, drunk and drugs, and that's what I did, you know. I know what it is to have weakness. I had a lot of it when I was a sinner. But you know, I just acted like a sinner. People thought I was some kind of weird thing. I was just acting like a sinner. I didn't go to drown and lie a life, you know, live, be a hellish person and try to hide it behind religion. A lot of people think they're sort of good, you know. There ain't none good. Nobody gets to heaven because they're a pretty good person. Nobody gets to heaven that way. So it don't matter what kind of rotten life you had before. We all start off at the exact same spot as born again. Hallelujah. I became a saint. I didn't even have to ask the Pope to vote on it. God just made me one. He just said, you're saint. Hallelujah. You're separated to God. You're holy. You're righteous. Woo! Hallelujah. But anyhow, I said to my dad, he said, because he drank and he said he abused his body, so he was putting up with problems because of that. And I said, Dad, do you think God's holding that against you, your life past? I said, you did that as a sinner. I said, if God's holding that against you, Dad, that means God hasn't forgotten. Your sins ain't as far as the east is from the west. He's stuffing them right in your face. I said, Dad, you don't have to live with that. Thank God. I mean, my body today is in good health. Amen. It's in good health. I mean, I've had more than one doctor just tell me lately. My, you have good health. What are you doing here? Hallelujah. Well, if I went by the what I was doing and what I had done in my life, I mean, there was a lot of booze and drugs, a lot of different stuff You know, my body was pretty much a trash can. I mean, anything you want to throw in it, we did it. And but setting myself in line with the Word of God, God turned things around in my body. See, we keep living our past lives. And I told Dad, Dad, you don't have to live your past life. The guy that did that to your body is dead. I said, God will fix your body. And you know what? God fixed his body. You see, when people don't live right, don't think right, and don't walk, they get their thinking all messed up, and they get into these areas, they get over here and that stuff, we start looking, we go out at all this in the past. We don't lead ourselves, let the Holy Spirit take us over to the place of fixing things. We keep ourselves, well, this can't be fixed, see, I messed up. And then we believe if God forgave me, it still don't get fixed. We have a lot of whacked out thinking, don't we? No, you want to get over the place, you know? Did he cleanse me from all unrighteousness? Then I stand before him as just as I've never done anything wrong. Think about that. You mess up. God has the ability to put you in a position to stand for him that he looks at you as perfect. Now, I'm going to tell you what, that takes some power. But he does. He looks at you in the perfection he gave you. The Bible says you have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You have God's very righteousness. Does God have any imperfection of who he is spiritually? God said, you have my righteousness. I can't get a higher righteousness. I can't get a better one. I have God's righteousness. If I'm righteous before God, you think I can get my prayer answered? See, we look at Jesus as, you know, do you understand this? Jesus is not more righteous than you are. Jesus is not more righteous than you are. You have God's righteousness. Jesus did all he did to make you as righteous as God while you're before him. Hallelujah. See, this is why he says, don't hide out. Go boldly to the throne of grace. You got this high priest, this guy that did all this for you, this guy that did this. He said, get up here. Let's get this thing fixed now. Let's get this thing going. Come on out here. You see, Christianity's lost its boldness because it's lost its gospel. It preaches a gospel really more of works and more of trying to fix things on our own. We're just old sinners saved by grace stuff. I was an old sinner. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm a son of God. I'm not an old sinner. Everybody who's an old sinner will be in hell. That's where the sinners go. The righteous go to heaven. Hallelujah. I'm in that club. I gave up the sin guy for the righteous guy. Hallelujah. In spite of what you look at me and you think's going on, God likes me. Hallelujah. Don't you want to be there too? God likes you. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. Let me ask you this today. Does anybody, you need some help? You need some help? Maybe you're having trouble in overcoming in an area. You know, you may be under oppression. Has, you know, maybe the devil's been coming against you for things, you know, in that stuff and oppressing you. Is one of the things, is I do encourage you in this, is starting to get your confession or get speaking in the right direction. Start speaking. Start looking what the Word of God says about you. Because the Holy Ghost will lead you in. That's what the Holy Spirit will lead you into. He'll begin to start to lead you into that. But we can pray for one another. Hallelujah. Thank God gives us that ability that we can pray. You know, there's the scriptures tell us if two agree is but touching anything they ask. I mean, Jesus said this, so it comes from a pretty good authority. Jesus said, if two agree is but touching anything they ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. Gee, I wonder if that really works. See, it's what God did. You know, the Bible is so phenomenal, it is very hard for people to grasp a hold of because they try to think of it out of their minds, from their mind standpoint. These words were written for your heart. Revelation comes to the heart. It don't come to the head. It comes to the heart. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. See, the Spirit on the inside comes to me. The revealer, the Holy Ghost, is on the inside to reveal. Now, he'll change your mind. He can bring things to your mind, but it first comes to your heart. I don't have to reason that that's true. All I have to do is accept it as whether or not it's true. I want you to understand this. People who are always trying to figure things out usually live a lie to themselves because there's loads of things they believe that they don't understand at all. See, God never asked you to understand the Bible. Never asked you to. He asked you to believe it. Believe His Word. He said, two believers, they get together and they agree on something, it'll happen. See, now how can that work? I don't care how it works. You know, I don't know how my car does everything it does. But I ain't going to go buy books to try to figure it out either. That's what I pay a mechanic for. Dear Lord, Christians are running around all the time trying to figure out how everything works. No, it don't work by figuring out. It works out believing and then acting like it's true. That's how it works. It don't work by knowing everything about it. It's believing and acting like it's true. Hallelujah! Glory to God. You want to act like it's true today? Does anybody need some prayer today? If you need some prayer, we can act like it's true. We'll pray and believe God's going to do it. Hallelujah! Don't get no better than that. So if anybody needs any help, come on up. Hallelujah! Don't be shy. If you need something, dear Lord. Hallelujah! Or just do without. It don't matter. Now, you can't believe yourself. You can set yourself because you're faith and you need to understand it. This is one of the things. The greatest thing in the areas of faith is you believe God concerning yourself. You believe yourself. You can bring it to pass. Jesus said you could ask for anything. As an individual, you can do that. You can do it. So we as believers, we do have the ability within ourselves, and you want to come to that place. You don't want to always have to have somebody else praying for you, because if you do, you're going to be in big trouble in life, because you're going to run into a place where nobody else is around and you're going to need help. And you ain't going to have none. You got to learn to stand on your own. Hallelujah. You have to learn. And we'll find out, you know what? God will answer your prayer just as quick as He'll answer any minister or anybody else. I don't get any special treatment in the prayer area. Now, God will anoint me. You know, I have an anointing and I'll minister in the areas of healing and different things where God anoints me to do that. But you know what? That anointing never works for me. It's not for me. The anointing. My teaching anointing is not for me. It's for you guys. See, people think if I really get anointed, I'll get really great. No, you won't. Wake up, space cadet. Anointings from God are not for you. They're for other people. Now, there's a lot of ministers today think it's about them. They use it all the time to get money and whatever else they can, or they try to sell it out. It's not for anybody. It's for to bless people with. I have to believe God for myself just like everybody else does. Just like everybody else has to believe. And I know difference. That's why I have to grow in faith just like everybody else. I don't get I don't go to the bargain basement and down there they have this special down there on faith and I get it because I'm a minister. It doesn't happen. I got to work at it just like you guys do. You know, but I get anointed for people. That's what I'm anointed for people. Praise God, it's a wonderful thing. I like it. I like getting anointed for people. Hallelujah. God blesses people and helps people through it, does what I can't do, you know. But the anointing can. The anointing can do it. So if anybody needs the anointing for something this morning, hallelujah, we give you the opportunity. Glory to God. Everybody good? Hallelujah. Come on. Come on now. Come on down. The price is right. There you go. There you go. Hallelujah. And you don't even have to pick door number one or two or anything. You don't have to do none of that. Just come right here and stand to it. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. What can we do for you?
I can go first.
Okay. Well, don't worry.
I'm a licensed psychologist, and I'm all in my head. I've got to get out of my head and into my heart, because I don't sense anything. I don't have any intuition. It's all hid. I got to analyze it. I've got to figure it out here. That's not Jesus. Yeah. I want Jesus to speak. I want to know the
Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Well, He will. And let me just say this to you. He is speaking to you. It's just like, all of a sudden.
Confession is your condition. That's what I said about your sermon. Yeah. Confession is my condition. I got to confess right.
Yeah. Start talking about it. But see, you know, God is speaking. This is what happens many times to people. Because we're not hearing anything, we don't say God's not talking. See, I found this out. The more I got to learn God about God and learn how much to listen to the inside, I found that He's really chatty. Yeah. But I was doing a lot that was making noise that I wasn't hearing. But it wasn't because He wasn't talking. So understand, He is talking to you. He's not on. So He is.
Sit down and shut up.
No.
And listen.
But
no,
you know, but sometimes, you know, it isn't. It's the way, but see, it's the whole thing. It's the way you think. Like you said, you're analyzing things.
Yes.
So you do that. But you know, you're not on the own, but just because you do, you know, analyze. There's loads of people that never went to school for 2 seconds, and they do that. They analyze, and they're thinking, they're trying to think everything out. The wonder of the Christian life is its simplicity.
Oh, God, I'm so unsimple. Thank you. No, my confession.
But see, you can, and it's the whole thing, and you can be. There's nothing matter with having an intellect and being, you know, we do want to learn how to reason, but we learn how to put that reasoning over where it works well and what it's supposed to do. You know, the guy that thinks, like, say it works on my car. You know, I don't want him over here, you know, meditating on John 3:16 at that time, you know. Say, I like the scripture. You know, go over here on my car and I want you to be able to think about what's going over here you're working. So there's things that you have to, we do in the natural. But you know, you can learn to operate in the two at the same time. You can learn to listen on the inside of you, and at the same time you use your intellect. God gave you a brain. If he wouldn't want us to have a brain, he wouldn't have gave us one. So we do have the ability to use it. We're not turning it off. We have enough people with no brains in this country. We got enough of that. You want to use your mind. God will restore your mind. He restores it to his way of thinking. So your thinking becomes a really fruitful thing. Where you can help people, but help you. And he'll show you things. See, I learned how to operate, like, so when I worked at Reese Candy Company and managing an apartment, we'd have problems, breakdowns and stuff and things like that. I learned to listen on the inside, and I would pick up to where problems were existing and where they were at, where they'd be there trying to figure out what's going wrong here. And all of a sudden, I just know on the inside what was wrong. See, all of a sudden, well, what would it be if you could come to people to help them, and all of a sudden, you'd know what's wrong with them?
Wow, wouldn't that be a blessing?
Well, sure. And you know what? It will happen. It will. You will know. You will know what you can give them to help them.
And not from here.
Yeah. But you have a there's things that you know might be very good. There's things that, but getting on the inside. If we can bypass all the analysis getting to something. It's just like, okay, a psychologist will sit, or a psychiatrist may sit with a person for years of trying to go through until they find out where that person's at. What if you can find out? What if you can get on the inside where they're at right away?
Jesus, miracle.
Yep. See, and you can do those things. See, that's part of being led by the Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit working in us to help us to achieve, to do what we want. Is working, and that's what you want.
Beautiful, exactly.
That's what you want. So there's nothing wrong. Don't get yourself and say, oh, just turn my brain off. No, don't want to turn it off. You want to get a renewed mind through the Word of God. Just get yourself simplicity. You know, well, the Word of God says that it's true. Start saying those things. Well, that's true. Say, it doesn't make sense to me, and I don't really care. It's true. And you know what? You'll start to find what that truth is in you. It'll start getting revealed because, see, the Holy Spirit is in you. He's inside of you. That's where he's revealing from. He's not revealing from your mind. It's on the inside. On the inside is the peace that passes all understanding, that guards your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. It's on the inside. It's on the inside. It's in there. See, there's peace and rest in the inside. You already have it. It's coming in contact with it. What's already in you. See, when I had a lot of turmoil on the outside, but the more I started learning about the Holy Spirit, he's working, I realized on the inside me, I wasn't trying to get peace or joy. I was full of it in the inside. It's the Holy Ghost ain't living in some place where ain't peace and joy. He's living on the inside. We have been created in God's nature, which is peace and joy and rest. It's a place of faith. See, we can walk by faith. God created us to believe. Hallelujah. He's created us like that. It's to realize what you are on the inside. Oh, see, when you know, it gives rest. Just like I'm talking to you that now. Doesn't it give your mind rest?
Wow.
It does.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Just think it.
My burden's gone.
Words spoken. Words spoken. Mm-hmm. Well, what if you say those words? Those words will be more to you when you say them than when I say them. Because of your words. You listen more to your words than you do mine.
My confession is my condition.
Yeah. And you just talk in this, just stand right, saying about what you really are on the inside. Hallelujah. You're dominated by the inner man. You're dominated by the inside, not the outer. You're not dominated by your mind. You're dominated by the inside. God on the inside is working stuff on the outside. Hallelujah. It's God in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's a working. Let me just pray for you, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, the good work that you're starting in her right now. You're bringing it to completion. You're working a mighty work in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father God, that what's on the inside's rising up in her, Lord God. I thank you today starts a great change, a great change, a great change. Hallelujah. Lord God, a life of greater victory and blessing to others. Hallelujah, is happening in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Satan, in the name of Jesus, I bind you in any way from operating against her. She don't belong to you. She belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. She's His. You get your hands off of her in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord God, that that good work that's happening in her, that thoughts are coming out of the inside, revelations from inside are coming to her mind. And I thank you, Lord God, they're changing things in her. And her mind's becoming clear in an understanding and wisdom, hallelujah, that you planned for her to have from the foundation of the world. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What do you want God to do for you?
This last year has really been hard, and I've been dealing with a lot of oppression and depression because of the situation that happened, and I don't understand it. My fiancé broke off the wedding.
Yeah, that is ugly.
And it's been very hard.
Yeah, hallelujah.
I don't understand it.
Hallelujah. Well, should I tell you something? We can't always understand what other people do or why they do it. And you know, you never may come to an understanding on that. But what you're going to do is come to an understanding of the one that's inside of you.
Amen.
That's. And you know what? There's a lover that lives in you.
Amen.
That's going to change, that can change every, I'm serious, change everything. To what hurts now can be a thing that don't, it can be the stepping stone to your greatest victory in life.
Amen.
Some of the things that's happened to me in my life have become my greatest stepping stones. Hallelujah. A victory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me just say this. There's nothing wrong with you.
It's been so hard.
See, one of the things, though, see, yeah, but you know what? You're always wondering, what was wrong with me? What's the matter?
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with him?
Amen. Amen. That's the truth.
Yeah.
You see, you keep pointing the finger at you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it.
Okay.
Don't point the finger at you. Don't take blame that you don't have no clue. Or you can't deal with his responsibility.
Mm-mm.
It hurts, don't it?
Yeah.
See, his outcome, you've let his ugliness destroy you.
Yeah.
And we'll stop that today.
Amen.
Okay.
Thank you,
Jesus. Thank you.
We're stopping this thing.
Hallelujah.
See, this ain't got it's what he, you know, it don't matter. He's going to have to live with that. He either gets that fixed. There ain't nothing for you to fix on this thing. You can't turn him. You ain't God. You can't, you know, even God. Look, if he don't allow God to work in him, God can't.
Mm-hmm.
But see, if you want God to fix you, he'll fix things for you. He'll turn this thing around today.
Mm-hmm.
See, you've been under oppression, and it ain't been natural either.
Mm-mm.
Hallelujah. We're going to take care of it right now in the name of Jesus.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Thank
Glory
you.
To God. Hallelujah. And you know, I tell you what, I want you to have a great Christmas. I want you to have a wonderful time.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You.
Hallelujah. See, you're here after God. Well, you're heading in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And you want to meet him, and he's going to run right into you. That's what he wants. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, our dear sister. Lord God, you know the things that have happened, but I want to thank you today for grace. The ability of God. And Lord, that's what she needs. Lord God, Lord, I pray, Lord God, there's be a quickening inside of her, Lord God, right now. In the name of Jesus, of rest in her. Lord God, if not of guilt, but of rest in her, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I thank you right now, a clearness of mind in the name of Jesus, Lord God, of your goodness working in her, because you surely haven't rejected her. Lord God, if God's for her, who could be against her? Lord, it matters not what people do. Devil, in the name of Jesus, you get your hands off of her right now, in the name of Jesus. You get your hands off of her. She don't belong to you. I command you to cease and desist in your operations against her in Jesus' name. And Father, I want to thank you right now for the grace of God, the anointing of God coming on her mind right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for peace that passes all understanding comes upon her in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, there's a freedom that's working in her right now, starting right now, a freedom working in her. Lord God, that she knows your love for her and your forgiveness and your care for her, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Guilt, you go in the name of Jesus. You have no place here. You have no spot here in this place. Hallelujah. There's only freedom here in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There's only love here. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The care and the wholeness of God here in this place. In the name of Jesus. The great high priest. Fulfilling his strength into your weakness. That you're strong today. Strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. You're free. You're free. You're free. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Well, we're first time visitors and this
well,
is a blessing.
Hallelujah. Well, we're glad you came. Hallelujah. You know, really, it's funny because last night the Lord changed the message from what I was going to do. And it's really been in line with you two guys needing help. See, God knows. See? All the rest of us needed some of those things too, for sure. But he wanted to minister. He wanted to minister to you too. Hallelujah. You see, God's concern and care for people. See, this is why. See, this is why you want to be led by the Spirit. See, so I wondered why last night God gave me the scriptures from Hebrews, threw them in there because it really wasn't in line of what I was going. So I said, well, where are we going? He said, well, you just get up. You'll find out where it fits. So we found out where it fitted. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Who needed that? Come on down, brother. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What can I do for you?
I've been at the doctor like at least like a year ago or something, yeah. Like three times and two different surgeries on my toe and never did get healed.
Right. Oh, well, we got to get that fixed. Let's get it fixed. Okay. Is number one, let me just say this to you. So we know where it comes from. God's not withholding healing or anything like that. He doesn't do that. See, the Holy Ghost, see, we look at Jesus' ministry. Jesus never had somebody come and say, you know what? God don't want you to get well. See, we look at the me of Jesus. Jesus said concerning his ministry, we would do the same. So we know this. It's God's will for you to be well. It is. And we know it's so much from that the Bible said concerning Jesus that he says, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And then in Peter, 1 Peter 2:24, it tells us that he took our sins, but said by his stripes we were healed. In other words, you know, people say, well, that's spiritual healing. No, it's not. It's physical healing. You're not spiritually healed. You get physically healed. When I got born again, I didn't get healed. God made me a new person. Hallelujah. He made you a new person. And in that new person package, in that package that he made with you, the covenant, was healing. And now, see, we're told we're supposed to believe we receive it. See, actually, in actuality, according to Scripture and from God's thinking, you are healed. See, get it out of your mind. I'm gonna try to get healed. No, today you're gonna receive your healing that was already given. You're gonna receive what is already. See, Jesus said, if you believe you receive it, you'll have it. Well, how could I believe I receive it if He hadn't given it to me? Wouldn't that be dumb? He told me to believe something, and He didn't get. So, in other words, He's already given you your healing. Oh my God, is that ever good? He already gave it to you. Isn't that what? You came here and He already had your healing for you. He said, okay, here it is. Now all we do is receive it. That's all we do. That's the prayer of faith. See, James said the prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise them up. The prayer of faith. See, what's the prayer of faith? You believe you receive it, you have it. That's the prayer. And so that's what we're going to pray. We're going to pray that you receive healing, that toe, whatever, is healed just fine, healed up exactly like it's supposed to. That's what we're believing right now. So that thing will heal up exactly like it's supposed to. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, my brother right now, Lord God, we're just obeying what the Scripture says. And Lord, we're praying the prayer of faith for him. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I believe your healing power is going into his body right now in Jesus' name. I believe that toe and foot, I believe that's being healed in that leg. In the name of Jesus, it's coming into its condition that you created it to be, Lord God, completely well and whole in Jesus' name. And we believe we have it right now. So I just want to say this to you, Father. Thank you for healing my brother. I appreciate appreciate so much your love and care and concern for him. I'm just so glad that he is well in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for healing him. Oh, you're just so good. You're just so good. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. And so I want you to do something in front. Just don't matter how your foot feels, how it's going on. You just thank God. I received my healing. Praise God. And just thank Jesus constantly for healing. You say, I'm so glad you healed me. I'm just so glad you healed me. I'm so glad I'm healed. Hallelujah. Your foot might say, I don't feel like I'm healed. It don't matter what your foot says. You hold on to the confession of your faith. Hallelujah. I believe I received my healing. That's what I believe. Now, you didn't say, you aren't making a lie. You believe you received. That's all Jesus said you're supposed to do. You don't have to do anything else. Isn't that nice? Just believe you received. Hold on to that confession of your faith. Because your foot might tell you something else. But it don't say, hold on to the confession of your foot. No. Hold on to the confession of your faith. Hallelujah. Why? Because your faith, the Holy Ghost, will produce in you what you believe in your heart and say with your mouth. Amen. You will have what you say. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God, I'm so glad you're healed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Folks, these things are so important. I know, you know, we have some new people here, and ones maybe that, you know, don't know, you know, some things, but I proved this out. I mean, twice in my life, the devil tried to kill me. Twice in my life. And both times within an hour, I was well. Both times. Within an hour. I know this faith stuff works.
Amen. That's right.
I know since back when I look back into when I got born again in 1980 and I started learning about this walk of faith concerning healing, especially in the areas of healing. And the Lord dealt with me very strong about healing, how he wants people well. If there's anything that we look at Jesus' ministry, Jesus didn't like people sick. Jesus was in the healing business. Jesus hasn't changed. He's still in the healing business. Wow. He is interested in your health. Don't ever get over in anything in the idea that Jesus does not have an interest in your health. He has every bit of interest of how your body works and functions. He wants it to work well. And I've seen it time and time again. I've had miracles take place. So many things take place concerning this. But you got to be convinced that God wants you well. It's his desire. That's his love for you. He wants you well. I mean, we know in the Bible tells us the church at Corinth had themselves a problem there. They weren't living right and walking right. And he said, many are weak and sick among you. He said, and even die prematurely. And he said, what's going on? The reason was they weren't judging themselves. See, it wasn't about him doing anything. It was about them. They were doing things that were hurting them. You need to understand, God wasn't trying to get them. God wanted them well. He was telling them about, through the Apostle Paul, how to fix it. Judge yourself, you get healed. Hallelujah. Sometimes we have. Sometimes we get off base on things or something. Sometimes, you know, maybe we just don't have the information we need. Maybe we don't have the faith that we need to do certain things. But folks, always get it within you. God is interested in you being well. Spirit, soul, and body. He wants you well. He wants your mind well. God doesn't want some people where their minds don't work right. He doesn't want that. God wants your mind. He gave us the mind of Christ. Why? Because he wants us to be able to think well. He wants our minds to function good. He wants our bodies to function good. He wants the inner man. There's not anything that he don't want to fix. Man, our God's a fixer, man. That's what he does. He's a fixer. And so he sent, and through this redemption that we got, he set a covenant that has everything guaranteed in it that we need. Hallelujah. It's just such good news. He has it for you. Glory to God. He has it for you. You don't ever have to be afraid. You never have to worry again. You can come to the place where you'll never worry again. It's like I've said, you know, my mama was a world champion warrior. She won the Warriors Olympics every year. She had trophies on worry. She did. She was good at it. And I was raised under worry. I was raised under a worry and worry. And I thought worry was the normal. You know, worry always is just nothing but just nothing of fear. That's what it does, because it drives, and it makes you afraid. It makes you afraid. That's what it does. It is, and look, there's nothing more agonizing. There's nothing more agonizing. You're dealing with that, and it's working on you. It's a hard thing. Mm-hmm. You need to understand about people in their mind. What you believe and think's going on in your mind, it's as real to you. I don't care if it isn't real to the outside. It's real to you. It's what's real that's in you. And this is why God wants to fix things. So what's in your mind is the thoughts of good and thoughts of His blessing and the thoughts. That's what He wants in your mind. He wants your mind. This is why it's like with healing. And see, people get over and their body's talking to them. Their body has a problem in it. And their body's talking. Your body got a pretty loud voice, don't it? See, back when I was sitting in October, and I was sitting in the emergency room and had a blood clot in my lung, they were all worried about things. But inside, see, I've learned over the years, I had no worries or fears. I wasn't worried about it. You know, they were worried about it. You know, they didn't, you know, the doctors had a, you know, I was still breathing and had one, you know, and just, they were concerned about it. But on the inside, see, it didn't happen like that. If I'd have started off when I was first Christian, God would definitely have had to pull a miracle out of that because I wouldn't have been able to stand like that. But I knew, I was all right. I just knew it. I knew God. I knew on the inside because of what was on the inside of me. And that's why you can get it in you. This is why you want to put God's word in you, the believing the word. I don't know how God does it. Like, I don't know what did God do to keep me alive? I don't know. But within hours, I was completely normal. And the doctors are, what? Are you okay? Are you all right? You know, because I wasn't supposed to be breathing. You know? It's like a doctor told Randall Greer. He said, Randall Greer had a blood clot. And he said, if that blood clot hits your lung, he said, it'll be like taking a .38 and putting your head and pulling a trigger. He said, you're going to be gone. Well, I had a blood clot and I'm still here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But you know what? It wasn't my greatness. I don't know how God does it, but He did it. He did it. I don't know. And you know what? I ain't going to try to figure it out either. All I got to stay on the believing side. That's what I got to do. See, I stay on the believing side. Hallelujah. I believe in what He does. I don't know how He does it. How does He do what He did? How did He do it? I don't know. I didn't see anything. I was just there feeling better. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so, I want you guys, you know, just like years ago, I had a heart attack. And which was nice. This time they did a checking on my heart and found out my heart doesn't have any damage to it or not. My heart's completely healthy. From back there, from having a heart attack, and within an hour was completely well. It's amazing. But all of those things happen. People say, well, how did that happen? I don't know. All I did was believe God. All I did was believe God. Now, I did do some things and the Lord spoke to me about this. I do some things that people would call radical. In fact, the Lord said to me that I do radical things. He said this to me. Now, I want you to understand this. It isn't I'm doing wild or weird things. They're radical concerning what average person will do in a situation. And He said to me about that. He said, that's one of the reasons, He said, you've seen miracles the way you have, because you'll do radical things. In other words, things that are not ordinary to what people would ordinarily do. It's like when I had my heart attack, I went for a run. See, I believed I received my healing, so I said, if I'm healed. let me tell you what. That first mile that I ran was a terrible thing. I was in pain. I was in hurting. But God turned the miracle thing on at the 1 mile marker. And instantly, every symptom left my body and never returned. See, how did He do it? I got a clue. All I knew, it happened. Now, I didn't go ask the doctor, is it okay if I went for a run? I didn't. I didn't. You see, once I believe something, I've learned this over time, is once I believe something, I'm going to start acting like it's true. And I found out you start acting, but see, I get it on my mouth. I'm trying to run down the road. It's more of a shuffling feet than it was running at first. And I was in really a lot of pain. My chest was pounding like crazy. And this voice kept saying to me, what are the people in your church going to think when they find you dead along the road? And you say you believe in healing. See, the devil come along and talk to you. And that voice kept saying that. What's going to happen? They find you dead along the road. What are the people going to think? Well, see, one thing is I've learned, and see, you can learn from this. The only way you can overcome that is by your voice. I got to bring voice back to that. I have to start saying, this is where most people fail. They just keep thinking the thoughts. They just let those thoughts keep, and they never go against their thoughts with their own mouth. See, I've learned, that's how you do it. I started saying, I said, I ain't dying on this road. I said, devil, you ain't killing me, and you know it. And I'm going to tell you what, I didn't feel like I was Mr. Faith saying that. But I knew I had to answer that thing. I had to answer those thoughts that kept pounding. I had to answer them. You need to learn to do that. You need to learn. The biggest thing is to bring thoughts to a stop or to say something. It is very hard to be speaking and thinking other things. You begin to speak, you begin to say, you begin to talk. And see, as I began to talk, one of the things I found out, I started getting more, when I started talking, I got more strength started in my body when I started doing that. When I became my speaker. See, I've always said this, you guys have heard me over the years. You got to become your own best cheerleader. You don't wait for, see, we live in a society today, and it's all about getting somebody else to cheer for you, and you have to find other people to get along with you to give you, I'm sorry, you'll be a failure in life. Because somebody ain't always be there when you need the cheer. You got to be your own best cheerleader. You want to succeed at life? People who have great success become their own cheerleaders, not people who are looking for other people to cheer them on. You got to learn to do that. Be your own cheerleader. Stand up, cheer you on, say what you need said. Speak, you need to do that. It isn't enough for people to feel sympathetic towards you. You need to learn your own cheerleader. You talk about good about yourself, because you know what? People might say some nice things to your face, but what do they say when they leave? You have no control over that. But you can know what you say when you go, whenever you go. You can always know what's on your voice concerning you. And if you're saying the right things about yourself and you're speaking about your success, if you're speaking about those kinds of things instead of failures, just saying the right things, start speaking the right stuff. It's amazing what it does for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You start saying the right things, speaking the right things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I just thank you this morning for your great love, for these your people. And Lord God, truly, they are your people. They're yours. You're the one that bought them. You're the one that loved them. You're the one that sent Jesus for them. You did that. And I just want to thank you, Lord God, that you counted us so valuable and precious, Lord God, that you sent Jesus to save us. Lord God, Lord, it would seem natural to give up on people, but you never have. And I thank you, Lord God. I thank you today, Father God, for success in life, in this life. Lord God, the scripture tells us we're to reign as kings in this life. Lord God, that we're supposed to walk. Lord God, we're more than overcomers through Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord God, whatever's coming against these people, you have given them all the ability that they need to overcome and to stand in strength and power in the name of Jesus. I thank you that greater one that's in them will rise up in every occasion, Lord God, to bring help and strength and ability to them. Hallelujah, Lord God. And knowing exactly what to do. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God. You're going to do mighty and wonderful things in them and through them, Lord God. Hallelujah. I thank you they will be demonstrators of your glory and of your majesty, that Jesus Christ will be glorified and magnified through them. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.